How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, everyone. We're locked in for episode 223 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes. I'll learn how to pronounce that one day. Head on to iTunes, and you can subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. You can leave a review. If you can pronounce stuff, you can leave a good review. If you want, you can talk about iTunes versus iTunes. iTunes wouldn't be that bad, right, Andrew?
No, that's quality. That's great.
iTunes like could be the name. It's not
it
that.
Could be.
It's not yeah, that. No. It's not that far off. You can find us on audioboom.com as well, and log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. Free agent coverage, Patrick Patterson coverage, Raymond Felton coverage. Brutally honest Raymond Felton in that press conference today. He was awesome. I'm on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. I think the emergency podcasts are over, but just in case they're not, I do the emergency podcast in case the Thunder make crazy trades or something like that, or acquisitions somehow, or whatever it is. Wednesday episode today, that extremely charming voice you hear on the other line is Andrew Schlecht doing the podcast on the phone from the in-laws. Live from the in-laws, Andrew Schlecht.
Live from the in-laws. Just trying to make sure my wife doesn't get mad at me for not being in the pool right now. So I drug my family to the Paul George greeting at the airport because it seemed like it would just be like a pop-in thing. They said he'd land at 1. Turns out it didn't land until like 2:30. And so it's like 90-some degrees out. I've got my kids and my wife hanging out outside. I'm like, okay, we're going to go to the pool after this. We'll go to the pool. Don't worry. It was crazy hot. And they're serving some hot pizza right out there from the storm chasers.
How many people were there?
There were probably a couple hundred people there.
How do you feel about – I mean, I guess I can guess how you feel. Here's my take. Thunder fans already hate me. So I can give this take. I don't care. I think the airport thing's kind of weird.
It's
definitely endearing. It's for sure endearing. But like it's weird. This is my cynical New Yorker side coming out.
Yeah.
But it's like I'd be like, what? You're going all the way to LaGuardia? Like the only time that people have gone to JFK in the last year not to get on a flight is to protest. You know, no one's ever done anything like nice and sweet at JFK. And it's totally endearing, but it is kind of weird, right? It's a weird thing.
It's 100% Oklahoma, though. Like, we're all, like, Oklahomans are just nice. Like, we're always like, what's the nice thing to do? Let's go make sure that he gets greeted properly at the airport. Like, people are going crazy. There's a girl that passed out, like, 5 feet in front of me while I was doing the down-to-dunk periscope. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do.
That was likely the heat and pizza, though, I feel like.
Oh, it was. It was definitely not Paul George induced.
Did you know that? No. You know, when I was 12, I once passed out when I met Derek Jeter.
I've heard the story. It's a great story. It honestly should be its own podcast, that story.
It's a good story. if we had unlimited time, I would tell it. I'll tell it on the podcast another time. You know the ending now.
People I do.
Know the ending. That did happen. Passed out when I met Derek Jeter. That 100% happened. Okay, so Paul George is now in Oklahoma City. He's doing a press conference Wednesday night. He's doing like an event. The Thunder are like holding like a thing. I'm not even sure exactly what it's going to be. But there will be him addressing people and talking, and I assume media questions involved somehow. I just dropped my phone. Media questions somehow involved in that. I'm not quite sure what it's going to be. I'm not going to be there. I'm in Las Vegas. I'm on hotel internet as you're at the in-laws. This is really we're really fixing this podcast. I'm in Vegas, so I wasn't at the press conference today either, and I will not be at the one on Wednesday, but I will be following it, and I will be watching it, and we'll have our OU guy there, just like you did a great job today at the Felton and Patrick Patterson press conference. You have anything else about the airport? You're Locked on Thunder's official airport correspondent now.
Man, it was super hot, and we got to see Paul George walk across a fence line, and everybody chanted PG. I don't really like the PG because Paul George is just as easy to chant as PG.
That's a great point.
I don't get it. I also think that his nickname should be First Names. We should just chant it, First Names.
What if his nickname was cool. Just any other famous person who has two first names? Like, you just chant like Elton John, Elton John. And it's just intuitive that you're chanting for Paul George.
That's right. Man, it was cool. It was a very Oklahoma City Thunder fan base thing to do. The funniest thing is that one of the Storm Chaser guys yelled after everybody was leaving, like everybody's walking out, he yelled, "First impressions are everything." And I was just like, oh my gosh, this could be the most false statement I've ever heard in my life. It was fine. It was a neat way to welcome him to Oklahoma City, but it was super duper hot.
What a way to live your life. If, like, that is the way that you live your life, first impressions are everything. You put in so much effort to the first thing. Like, think about how much you could justify slacking off. Like, you meet your professor at the start of the semester and then just never show up to class again. It's like, I don't understand why I got enough. This doesn't make any sense.
First impressions are everything.
First impressions are everything. This, I was great that first day. This doesn't make sense at all.
I just was so happy when I heard it. It made it worth it to be out in the heat to hear him yell that.
Maybe it was Billy Donovan and he was talking about Samaje Christen.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Preseason is everything.
There you go. Samaje killed it in Summer League. I'll tell you what, when you watch Summer League, and I've watched so much Summer League now because I did a week in Orlando and a week in Vegas, and like, when you watch Summer League, it's so obvious to tell who the NBA players are. Like, Samaje was just so much more polished. He knew exactly where he wanted to go. He had so many more moves around the rim. Like, he was – it's amazing to watch him in an NBA game and see him, like, as the rookie. And then you watch him in Summer League and, him and Hustis. And, like, they're just so clearly levels above everybody else on the floor. And, like, it's so true, like, watching, like – like, Brandon Ingram struggled for a lot of last year, right? Then I watched that first Lakers game, and he only played in one Summer League game, that first Lakers game, and that was it because he got hurt. But then Brandon Ingram, like, looks amazing in that first Summer League game, and you're watching him, and he's, like, crossing guys over, and he's hitting fadeaways out of the post, and he's just, like, he's so fluid. Like, this guy is – it sounds so stupid. He was the number two overall pick next year, and I think he's going to be a really good player. But you're watching him and you're like, the only reaction is like, this guy just looks so much more like an NBA player than anybody else on the floor right now. Like, those guys just, it's amazing how good, I think some people don't realize how good NBA players are to make like guys like that look like they do during the regular season.
Yeah, no question. Summer League is so weird too. Because
it's the weirdest.
It's just something you should not really even evaluate. And I think unless somebody just looks awful. Like, if somebody looks terrible in Summer League, that's like, I feel like that's a warning sign. I feel like everything else is pretty meaningless. Even if you're just fantastic, like Anthony Morrow killed Summer League and like he is probably not going to get another contract. And there's Skudishvili for Denver killed Summer League and like he was out of the league in a few years. It just doesn't really.
Josh Selby was Summer League cool. MVP.
Yeah, Selby. Like, I was like, man, the Thunder should have picked up Selby in the second round. I was like, nope. He's not even in the league.
Yeah, well, you have to look at
it.
It's
so hard.
You have to look at it from a more academic standpoint, I think. Like, I think there are certain things you can take away from Summer League. First off, you can take away guys' conditioning.
Sure.
If a dude shows up and all of a sudden you're like, wow, that guy. Like, I remember after his second year, last year at Summer League, I walked in and I was like, oh my God, Justice Winslow got huge. I saw him like 3 months ago. And his shoulders are like like a foot broader than they were when I saw him in March. You know, like mm-hmm. there were it's things like that you can totally take away. I think other things you can take away are intellectual leaps. So like if you have a rookie who maybe struggled as a backline pick and roll defender, and all of a sudden, like, he's just communicating so much more on the floor. You can tell that the game is coming a little quicker to him. And granted, Summer League moves slower than an NBA game, but you can tell that, like, the game is coming a little bit quick. Like, something with – I know you joke about Samaje, but, like, something with Samaje that I really did notice, which I thought was an interesting trend, was that he was extremely vocal at Summer League. Like, he was extremely vocal, running every play, commanding the offense, pointing to guys, getting them to go. And I had just – he wasn't even doing that last year at Summer League. And I've just never seen him do that. I just thought that was an assertiveness that I haven't really seen. And I think those sorts of things are things that you can notice. Like if a guy has 20 points, it's like whatever. That doesn't translate. He might have just mm-hmm. happened to be making shots. Like, but that kind of stuff I think is interesting. And from a team perspective, you can look at like how a guy's personality and character and work ethic might fit in the organization if you're trying to give a guy, you know, a look or something like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Samaje's option is like on the 15th of this month. Is that right? Do you think that they
not guaranteed date? Yes, I think they will. I don't know for sure. That's not me reporting that they will keep him, but my educated guess is they will. It's $1.3 million next year. He's the cheapest possible option against the luxury tax, because if they bring in somebody else, even if it is an unsigned rookie or a second year player or something like that, if they bring in somebody else, then even if that person somehow makes less than Samaje does, then his tax number is still a second year minimum contract.
Okay, that makes sense.
So he would actually be more expensive than Samaje would be.
So they'll keep him. I mean, the organization likes him. They like him enough to play him next to Russell Westbrook in games. They like him. They're going to keep him.
He's a perfectly fine. Billy Donovan loves him, and he's a fine third point guard. Like
no, yeah, exactly.
Many people have told me who work in the league, like enough to the point where I didn't used to believe this, and now I believe it because like everyone who I consider smart who works in the league has told me that this is the case. That unless you have like point guards who are just extremely extremely injury prone or something like that, the most important thing you can get out of your third point guard is a dude who is going to be ferocious in practice, who is not going to care that he's, you know, the third guy and that he's going up against these guys in practice every day, who doesn't care about the dirty work, who's liked in the locker room, who's like that sort of player. And Samaje fits that description, plus he's cheap, plus the Thunder can justify that, like, well, he's 24 and could still potentially get better. And Billy Donovan, you know, loves him, obviously. So I would be surprised if they didn't guarantee his contract. But that's coming around on the 15th. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to end up happening. Let's talk about the press conference for a little bit.
Let's do it.
I thought Felton was awesome.
I think the Thunder are getting in some guys that are going to be fun to interview this season.
Oh, Felton was so great, man. Okay, let me find this. This is – I don't know if you caught this. So somebody asks him, Raymond, whether it's Alex Abrines, Enes Kanter, a lot of guys in the second unit that you'll be running with, how familiar are you with those guys and what about their games do you like? Raymond Felton is clearly extremely familiar because he ran through like a relatively detailed scouting report on the players. Which was cool. It was cool to see that like he knows his stuff, which is I'm sure the Thunder are very happy about that. And he's, you know, a 12-year vet. It's what you expect. But he says Enes Kanter is Enes Kanter is a force of nature. And then he just starts getting extremely honest in these scouting reports. And I loved it. He says Abrines, I think, has the highest upside of all of them. I love that. I love that he says that when like Kanter's still young and Grant is still young and like Samaje is young, and he's like, no, Abrines has the highest upside. And then he gives the most, and he's 100% right. He gives the most brutally honest Doug McDermott take. Like, I think he's just a young guy who needs some time. It's not like Doug McDermott is a great shooter. I'm excited to play with him. And McDermott, I think, is just a young guy who needs some time. who needs to see the ball go in the basket a few times and just get that confidence up just to play, because he was a great player in college. I think he can translate that here. He's just got to have the right coach over there that's going to help him out, that's going to drill him, have the veterans around him that's going to give him the confidence that he needs in his game to be confident each and every night. I love that, that he just came out and just, like, has never played with Doug McDermott, presumably doesn't know Doug McDermott that well. He's like, yeah, Doug McDermott, he has a lot of work to do.
I love that, too, because I think that, I mean, I don't know how many guys in the locker room are being honest about that, and I know that most of the Thunder guys aren't going to talk like that to the media, but if McDermott has somebody like that in his ear, because, like, Weston and I ranked the Thunder roster, he's like, we would put him at, like, 10th, because he still does have a lot to work on. And I did really like that he is gushing about Abrinas, because I think that Abrinas is going to have a big year. I think Felton's right. I think he's going to be great.
I agree. I believe that one of the reasons, and there are many reasons, but one of the reasons the Thunder were willing to trade Victor Oladipo, there are many reasons they were willing to trade Victor Oladipo. The first reason, which is, like, so far and away number one, is that it got them Paul George. Right. But one of the reasons that they were willing to trade Victor Oladipo, beyond that, beyond the contract stuff, beyond whatever else, is because they want Abrinas to get playing time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if they thought Abrinas was what he was, you know, if they thought Abrinas was a 15-minute-a-game player like they played him last year, they still obviously would do the Paul George trade, but they would be a little bit less excited about it. They're sure. Excited about Abrinas. I'm excited. I think I'm on the same page as you about Abrinas. I think he's going to be a legit player. He's good. Mm-hmm. He is a good player.
Yeah, and if he can figure out how to put the ball on the floor a little bit more, he could. I mean, he will be very, very good, because he can already shoot it really well. He's putting on some muscle, and I know it's muscle watch, and, like, a lot of times it means nothing, but for him it means a lot. Like, I think for some guys, like, to say they put on 20 pounds of muscle, like, it doesn't mean a ton. But for a guy who was as skinny as he is, and, you know, really to become, like, a competent, like, level defender, like, really just needs to put on some mass, I think that means a lot for him. And I also think that he's got the mentality of, like, a really good NBA player, because he wants the ball. You look back at that Thunder team last year, there weren't a lot of guys that you could say that were ready and willing to take the ball out of Russell Westbrook's hands and shoot it. And Abrinas was one of them.
Yeah. I mean, that is definitely – nobody has ever said that Alex Abrinas was too shy. Like,
right.
That has absolutely never been an accusation from anybody. Yeah, I back to the point that you kind of followed up with mine about Felton with McDermott. Like, that was great. The reason I loved it is because it was all truthful and there was nothing mm-hmm. disparaging. Like,
right.
It's not like there was – it was just all of this honest stuff that you could tell he would just say to somebody's face. And it was nothing insulting. It was just straight to the point, extremely honest evaluation of what he saw. And, like, I think that's what good leaders do. Like, I mm-hmm. hate it when – I realize we're, like, breaking down the press conference right now and saying somebody's a good leader. So I'm not saying Raymond Felton is a good leader because he did this. I'm just saying that that's something that good leaders do, and that's why it appealed to me. Like, I'm always someone who, like – I've had editors in the past who are like, yeah, Fred, it was good, and they don't really change anything, and they just let it go. Mm-hmm. I like the editors who are going to call me out and be like, this paragraph needs to be changed. This can be a lot better. Because, you know what, sometimes it does hurt your feelings, but, like, if they're smart and they're good at their jobs, then they're going to make you better. And, like, that's the mm-hmm. whole point of this whole thing. So I get drawn to stuff like that. Anything else that stood out to you about Patterson or Felton?
No, it's just kind of funny that they both kind of think of themselves as, like, small town guys. Because they did grew up in small towns, but since they've been in the NBA, they've been in a lot bigger cities than OKC. But they both seem to be excited to be here. Sam Presti, I mean, I think Sam Presti was kind of almost like the most interesting person to interview today. Just because it's like, man, like, you just did something so great. And he's just like, well, you know, we'll be going to training camp starting at ground zero. I'm like, what are you talking about? You just got Paul George. You're not starting at ground zero with Russell Westbrook and Paul George. But he just kind of threw out a bunch of Presti speak today. But
can I give a Presti speak quickly and then you can continue?
Yeah.
No team is ever finished.
Yeah. That was like one of the first things he said after Jimmy Carlson asked him. I was like, now that the roster's finished, well, mm-hmm. the team is ever finished.
I love it when he gets existential. He's so smart, man, and he gets super existential, and it's like he's just like slapping every fortune cookie writer in the face. Beat that.
Press is amazing. He also was not wearing clear glasses today. He's wearing some round specs that are, I think they're probably brown.
Were those the Fizdale ones? I didn't notice it. Yeah, he wore those to the MVP, to the awards show.
Okay, that's right.
Yeah, he wore those to the awards show. I like those glasses. Fizdale's got great style.
He does. He's cool. I'm just glad the Thunder have, like, veteran NBA competent players that are going to come and play on the team. Because that was, honestly, the Thunder were lacking that a lot. Like, up until the trade deadline, I was talking to my friend Alex, and we're just like, man, I just hope that they bring in some NBA players at the trade deadline. Because the Thunder just were carrying way too many guys that either weren't ready to be, like, NBA quality players, or they just weren't. So they're just bringing in two guys, and it didn't cost them anything to bring them in. Cost them, like picks or in a trade or anything. That's a big deal for the Thunder, to bring in two pieces without it being a trade. Or a draft pick or something like that. Like that's something that doesn't happen for the Thunder. Like they don't bring in free agents, and to bring in two quality guys like Felton and Patterson, and that's a big step for this organization to do that.
You got time to quickly talk about Presti's comments about Westbrook extending?
Yeah. That's probably all I got.
Yes. All right. We'll be quick. This is relatively important. So Sam Presti, after it all, was asked about Russell Westbrook up for an extension, 5 years, over $200 million. The Thunder have offered it. Russell Westbrook hasn't signed it. And Presti said, I wouldn't say that one's a negotiation. Then people laughed. And then, he said, listen, Russell understands where we are on that, and I'll let him answer those questions. He went on and had some Prestiisms for a little bit. And then he just kind of, that's really all you need to hear. I think the most important thing for us is how we further our organization, further our team, get these guys activated, welcome Paul George, and so on. And then you move on, and that's really Russell's decision. I'm so curious to see how this whole thing develops. Because, look, people are saying, well, he's waiting to see what happens. And that's obviously true. Maybe it's not true. Maybe, who knows what Russell Westbrook is thinking. But there's one thing that we can guarantee, which is that his motivation for not having signed the extension yet, and it's been a week and a half, his motivation for not having signed the extension has nothing to do with money. The financially sound decision, without debate, is to sign the extension. He can make the most amount of money. The Thunder can offer him the same contract next year. And a dollar today is worth more than a dollar tomorrow. And in this case, it's worth more just because of security reasons, not necessarily for the economic implications that they have when people say that to you in Econ 101. But there is no financial – the finances say sign the deal. He hasn't done it. So this is an interesting development to me. Presti wasn't really commenting on it. At some point, Russell will be asked about it, presumably, unless he just signs it soon. But it's something I don't think we can talk about this enough. Some people, I feel like people don't want to talk about it for some reason. Like, it's taboo. Why is it taboo?
I don't know. I think that it's just kind of hard. Like, what is there to say? Like, he's either going to sign it or he's not going to sign it. And, like you said, there's like the incentive for him to sign it there for like money implications are there. But also I don't know if he waits to sign it. I mean, he's going to get the same amount of money. Like even if he gets hurt, let's say like he's still going to get a max deal next summer. So like he kind of has incentive to like wait and see how everything plays out. Does Paul George stay? Cause that's a massive career changer for him. He's already seen that caliber of player come onto the team and leave. I think it makes a little bit of sense for him to wait too. And it also kind of makes sense for the Thunder. What do you think about this? Do you think it's better for the Thunder if they both don't sign and then they both stay or they both leave? I think that's like not the worst thing in the world for the Thunder, because then they get like this blank slate. They don't have a ton of room. They can go, you know, do some Brooklyn Nets type moves where they can bring in draft picks or whatever into their cap space, and then they can start rebuilding. But then you are in the same position with just Westbrook if Paul George leaves. I think that that's it's almost a more difficult situation to build from. So I think like the nuclear option for the Thunder isn't like the worst thing in the world. And I also don't think that him not signing now is the worst thing in the world either, because I don't think it signals that he's for sure leaving. I don't know. I just think that there's just so many things to unfold. And I think like for the storylines of the season two, it's almost better that he doesn't re-sign, just because like the storylines are just so massive and like NBA changing. If they don't re-sign. It's just, it's kind of crazy because, like, the center of the NBA universe is obviously in Golden State, but it's also now back here in Oklahoma City, and it's kind of fun.
Yeah, the fact that he does not sign, that he hasn't signed, does not mean that he isn't going to sign. Not at all.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of people that are very confident. Like, I've talked to a bunch of people today that are out there, that some people that know stuff, some people that are speculating. There are a lot of people out there that are like, he's going to sign. Like, he's just doing his Westbrook thing. You know, there are several people that thought that. So, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what he does.
Yes, it will. He signed on August 3rd last year. Waited it out.
Yeah.
Tied the Thunder's hands in free agency because of it. That's what I always thought was so weird. Like, he wants more help, but, like, the Thunder couldn't do anything because he didn't want to sign until August 3rd.
Turns out it was a good thing, because you don't want to – if they had tied up their cap space, like, who knows what they would have done.
Right. Well, like, it wouldn't have even been cap space. It just would have been, like, you know, they could have used an exception on somebody or something.
Oh, right. Yeah.
But they would have been able to do that because they wouldn't have had to keep cap room open. Like, maybe they could have – if Russell signs quickly, then – they don't have to resign. You know, maybe they could resign Deion. You know, maybe they let Deion take a qualifying offer or something like that. Like, they don't have to rescind that. Like, there are a lot of, like, that's what I thought was weird. But, you know, Russell's going to do his thing, and we'll see what he ends up deciding. It's just worth mentioning. Sam Presti spoke about it today, so it's something we got to talk about. This is a Thunder podcast.
Yeah, is Westbrook supposed to be at Paul George's press conference / party / rap concert tomorrow night?
He's performing.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay.
I have not gotten word either way. He was Tulsa for a basketball camp, but I don't know.
Right. Don't you think that all this stuff that's happening, like even where the press conference was today, like a really nice hotel in downtown Oklahoma City, do you think the Thunder are doing things differently now? Do you think that this like shows that they learned something from the departure of Durant?
You know, I was thinking that. I think it's a really interesting point. They did the Terrence Ferguson press conference at the Boathouse.
Yeah.
They do this at – yeah. I mean, it's interesting. The Paul George thing sounds like it's going to be similar to the Durant intro in Golden State last year.
Right.
I get those vibes.
Yeah.
So it sounds kind of similar. I think that is an interesting observation, and I don't know what the answer is, but I think that's totally a discussion worth having. It's a really interesting observation.
I'm going to try to get in tomorrow night. I know one of our guys that's on our Friday pod, Luke, is going to be there, but I'm going to try to go too, because I think it just sounds kind of strange, like a strange like Thunder press conference / celebration. It's just really – it's very non – Thundery. It's very weird.
It is extremely weird. It's extremely weird. I'll send you back to the in-laws. Send you back to the in-laws in a sec. Yes. You have anything to plug?
Just listen to Down to Dunk. You can find us on iTunes. Find us on DailyThunder.com. We are also a Thunder podcast. So if you don't listen, check us out.
Great. Check out Down to Dunk. Great podcast. Just make sure that you check out Down to Dunk after you check out Lockdown Thunder, right, Andrew?
Hey, just subscribe to both, and they'll just come to your feet.
There we
they'll come
go.
Right to you.
Andrew's way more diplomatic than I am. I'm far more aggressive. Don't listen to Down to Dunk. you can remember I'm on every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Head on to iTunes and subscribe to Lockdown Thunder there. Like I said, leave a review. Give us 5 stars. See, write in letters to iTunes and tell them that if they had 6 stars, then you want to make them 6 stars just so you can give Lockdown Thunder 6 stars. your questions or comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. I'm on Twitter at Fred Katz. Andrew's on Twitter, Andrew K. Schlecht, S-C-H-L-E-C-H-T. Log on to normantranscript.com. Check out my Thunder coverage, some Summer League coverage, some press conference coverage, some free agent coverage, the coverage of the Paul George press party. Let's call it press party.
Press party.
You know what's going to be weird? People are going to be asking questions, and there's going to be applause in the background. It's going to sound like the press is applauding, and I always find that so uncomfortable.
If I'm there, I'll be sure to be applauding.
There's non-bias Andrew there. The emotions never affect the analysis. And that's all I have. That's all I've got. That'll do for today. I will be back Friday. Until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.
The new iPhone?
Yeah, got it on T-Mobile. Fastest iPhone deserves America's fastest LTE network.
Introducing the amazing iPhone 8. It's the best iPhone yet, now on America's best unlimited network. For a limited time, save up to $300 on the amazing iPhone 8 after 24 monthly bill credits. And now join T-Mobile's iPhone upgrade program for free.
Eligible trade-in and finance agreement required. If you cancel service, you may lose promo credits. Contact us for details. Video at 480p. Small fraction of users over 50 gigs per month may have reduced speed. See store for details.